So in recent years, there's been a significant shift in the beauty industry towards a more sustainable and holistic approach to skincare. And consumers are not just looking for effective products, they're looking for brands that align with their values and environmental consciousness and overall well-being. Our last episode was all about well-being and beauty and how the two are interlinked. And I think that we're seeing a huge trend in this and seeing more consumers moving towards this just in a really natural way. Our guests today are Roshan Dorset, founder of The Glossary, and Susan Kaufman, creator director of the eponymous brand Susan Kaufman, who share their insights on the profound link between natural beauty, skincare, and overall well-being.
When we eat junk food, we don't tend to feel great about ourselves, and it's just the same when it comes to skincare, but not a lot of brands are making it clear that some of the ingredients that we put on our skin would be classified as like junk food, and we know that junk food doesn't make us feel good about ourselves. It might feel like a small temporary time, but over a long time it's going to really have a negative effect on our overall wellness.
For me, it's very clear, to be honest, what we do, what we don't do. You know, the moment we produce something and sell it, it can't be a neutral footprint or even a positive or whatever. That's just not the truth when it comes. What I believe, the moment I produce something, there is a footprint.
I think by now we've all come to the realization that sustainability is no longer a buzzword. And even though 2020, 2021, we saw a huge spike in the number of people making more sustainable, ethical choices, and it sort of petered out a little bit, it still is something that consumers want and that the planet so desperately needs. And according to a report by Nielsen, 81% of global respondents feel strongly that companies should help improve the environment, and brands are increasingly adopting ethical and sustainable practices, sourcing ingredients responsibly, and opting for eco-friendly packaging. Upcycling, which we haven't spoken about in too much detail on this season, but it's a process where waste materials are transformed into new products, is gaining traction as well, and brands are finding innovative ways to reduce environmental impact and using food waste, beauty waste, and other products to make something new that is more ethical and less harmful on the environment also. Smaller brands are stepping up to the sustainability challenge as well and proving that size doesn't really limit impactful practices. And today we're speaking, as I said earlier, to Roshan Dorset, the founder of The Glossary, a small brand who's doing just that. A study by Cone Communications revealed that 87% of consumers are more likely to buy from a company that advocates for social or environmental issues. And these brands are incorporating sustainable sourcing and reducing waste and introducing refill options to minimize their ecological footprint. And authenticity in these efforts resonates with consumers, especially the younger demographic, who actively seek brands that prioritize environmental responsibility. So we're thinking Gen Z and Gen Alpha. If you're a millennial like me, those are the groups younger than us. So the shift towards nature-aligned beauty practices goes beyond personal routines. It reflects a paradigm shift in societal values. In a previous episode, we found that 70% of consumers worldwide are willing to pay more for sustainable products. And this shift involves recognizing the paradox of beauty products that may contribute to environmental pollution. Consumers now look for brands that offer a harmonious blend of effective skincare and eco-friendly practices, echoing the beauty found in nature. The beauty industry is increasingly acknowledging that skincare is not just skin deep, it's intertwined with emotional and spiritual well-being. And a study by the Global Wellness Institute states that the global wellness economy is valued at $4.5 trillion, emphasizing the significant impact of holistic well-being practices. Brands are encouraging individuals to adopt positive affirmations, prioritize self-care rituals, and engage in physical activities. And this approach recognizes that the true radiance when it comes to beauty comes from a balance of external and internal care. And the beauty industry, I think this season has really shown me, is that the industry is going through a really profound transformation, and it's driven by the growing consumer demand for sustainable practices and holistic well-being. Brands, sort of irrespective of their size, are recognizing how important it is to align with these values to stay relevant in an evolving market. And as consumers increasingly vote with their wallets, the future of beauty lies in that kind of blend of efficacy, sustainability, and holistic well-being. Let's talk to today's first guest, Roshan, who is incredible and the founder of The Glossary. Let's get going. So we're going to talk about the glossary, and we met very briefly a couple of months ago at a Salad Days market. For those of you who may know the Salad Days, it used to be a South London Makers Market. And I've known about your brand for ages, and I'm really excited to have you on the podcast today. And it's been a long time in the making. So I think the first question that I want to get into is about the brand. You're all about the intersection of natural beauty, skincare, and just general well-being. Can you share a bit about your journey and what led you to create the brand, and a brand more specifically that focuses on the holistic connection between all of these different elements?
So I launched the glossary in March 2020 after turning vegan. So I went vegan, and I quickly discovered the holistic benefits of whole foods, and I had a lot more energy after a meal. I didn't feel that slump. My skin improved, and I think my overall well-being just got a lot better. Like, my vibration just was on a different energy than it was when I was eating meat. So I, after that revelation, I sort of got to a point where I was just like, okay, now I want to sort out like skincare that's also as nourishing as the food that I was putting into my body. But I was kind of frustrated, because what I was finding was just that whilst there are hundreds, if not thousands, of natural and vegan skincare brands out there, none of them are really making it clear to me that the products you use on your body should be as healthy and nutritious as the food you're putting into your body. You know, I was met with shelves of like greenwash, ineffective, and kind of like just unhealthy skincare that I just didn't want to put on my largest organ. You know, your skin is your largest organ. I just didn't want to associate with that. So as a vegan and a vegan beauty consumer, I wanted that nourishment that I was giving my body. So I couldn't find it. So I naively thought, I'll just do it myself. And I qualified as a natural skincare formulator after studying with Formula Botanica, which is an online learning school for budding beauty entrepreneurs. So I studied that for 2 years and qualified. And then it was like the transition to being plant-based and my newly found skills was kind of like the start of me formulating what you now see as like the glossary brand. So we draw inspiration from nutrition of fresh fruits and vegetables to create a range of superfoods, sustainable and efficacious skincare. Our whole belief is that the products you use on your body should be as healthy and nutritious as the food we eat. I initially launched with 3 products: our clean green superfood serum, sweet orange lip balm, and coconut crumble lip scrub. And we've since expanded into an 8 SKU range, including 2 award-winning products. So clean green superfood serum, it's like an oil-based serum that helps to brighten hyperpigmentation and lock in moisture to the skin. Won best facial of 2020 in the Women's Health Beauty Awards. And then our Blue Dew Fruit Enzyme Cleanser won best cleanser of 2021 in the Cosmopolitan Beauty Awards. So even like looking at the brand, like when I was formulating it, I wanted it to represent all the bright colours of the fruit and vegetables that you'll see like in your local green grocer. So the idea is that the grocery is like a grocery for your skin. So yeah, it's kind of like been a personal journey that has kind of like been the starting catalyst to this brand.
So many founders and brands that I chat with have that sort of starting point in their journey. Their company started off the back of something really personal, and either something that happened to them or a change that they made, and they realize, I want to take this to everyone. I want to take this to the market and see how others can incorporate this change into their lives. So it's really nice to hear. And I do love the name, The Glossary, because when I first saw it, I kind of went, it's like a grocery for your skin.
Yes.
This is cool. I'm down with this. I really liked it. Your brand emphasizes the transformative power of natural ingredients. I really want to talk about ingredients with you, because I think a part of this season is all about beauty. Well, this season is all about beauty, but a part of it and a big thing that I keep saying, like a recurring theme, is the ingredients. What is it that goes into these products that is then going into your body, and how are we using that? How do the ingredients contribute not only to the health of the skin, but also the overall sort of wellness and balance of someone's life? Because it's something that you're putting into you. And I'm so curious about this.
Yeah. So that kind of like holistic viewpoint of like skincare is just, again, something that I've taken from my personal journey. So we know that if we're feeling low in energy, if we need a boost, or if we're feeling sick, most of what we look for the source comes from nature. So it just makes sense that when we're using like these natural ingredients, they're also going to have a positive contribution on your overall wellness. We use a lot of like cold pressed natural plant-based ingredients that help the skin regenerate itself, that promotes like a healthier skincare barrier. And we use ingredients such as essential oils. So essential oils have long been established of having therapeutic benefits. So you might use, we've got lavender essential oil that helps to relieve anxiety and stress. We've also got more uplifting essential oils in our products, such as rose geranium or bergamot, that help to calm and restore emotional balance. So when it comes to these natural ingredients, how I was thinking about it when using, well, when coming up with the Glossary brand, was that we're trying to restore that harmony, that balance, and that overall glow. Because I don't know about you, but when I'm having a great skincare day, that makes me feel more confident. And when I feel more confident, you're naturally going to pull more of that higher vibration, that positivity, all those amazing things to you. So I just see skincare and using natural ingredients in topical products as like a gateway to unlocking like a higher version of yourself. We know that even from a personal aspect, when we eat junk food, we don't tend to feel great about ourselves. And it's just the same when it comes to skincare, but not a lot of brands are making it clear that some of the ingredients that we put on our skin would be classified as like junk food. And we know that junk food doesn't make us feel good about ourselves. It might feel like a small temporary time, but over a long time, it's going to really have a negative effect on our overall wellness. So I think natural ingredients just plays a huge part in the overall ecosystem of wanting your skin and yourself to feel the healthiest version of itself.
People don't think, and it's a conversation I'm having time and time again with people, that you are what you eat, they say. Why would I eat junk and then not expect to feel like junk?
Exactly.
And like, I'm not a big meat eater. And over the past week, I've had quite a lot of red meat. And I feel sluggish. I feel bloated. I don't feel good. I've seen my skin looks a bit rough again. I was like, I've just got over that. So I need to look at what it is that I'm putting in my body. And my friends and I, we often laugh because we'll go out, we'll do like have these nice meals and things like that. And then every now and then, or if you're used to having like consistently eating bad food, we're going to say to each other, we're like, oh my God, I just need a vegetable. Like I just
need. You know what I mean? I just need a green juice. Get me some water. Do you know what I mean? Get me some of nature's resources. We all do it.
We all do it. And it's about how you look after yourself. And I've said this on every episode this season. I think you have to look at your beauty, not just as a topical thing. It is about what you're putting into your body, and the wellness that you have internally will show externally as well. Moving on a little bit, the beauty industry has been a lot quicker with things like vegan beauty, cruelty-free. These are things that have been around for a long time, but to make an actual like sustainable brand is a lot harder. And I think for bigger brands as well, it's more difficult to go back and do that. So it's a key part of your ethos. Can you kind of give us a bit more information, maybe a little bit of a deep dive into the sustainable practices that you've employed and the importance of kind of intertwining environmental consciousness with that pursuit of radiant beauty and wellness?
Yeah, of course. So being green here at the Glossary is like in our roots. I think as a plant-based founder and then start a plant-based brand, it's just important that we're getting our resources from nature, that even as a small brand, we're doing our part to take care of it. Because in my eyes, I just see it as quite a paradoxical to have a beauty brand that then pollutes the world with all this ugliness. Like it just doesn't, the synergy is just not there. So at the Glossary, we're really big on the ingredients that we use. So we buy from a lot of ethical and sustainable suppliers. And one of the ways that we kind of shout about our sustainability is that we use upcycled ingredients that would otherwise be discarded by the juicing industry. So in Tomato Tonic, which is our fragrance-free serum suitable for like sensitive skin, we use upcycled tomato seed oil. In our Sweet Orange Superfood Lip Balm, we use upcycled sweet orange oil, and upcycled strawberry seed oil is used in our Golden Nectar body oil. So we have this really like cool element of like recycling products that would otherwise go to waste and giving them a new lease of life, which I think is quite core as like a small brand to be doing. And then we also make sure that our packaging is environmentally friendly. So all of our products are housed in glass and aluminium, which are infinitely recyclable. For our best-selling serum, Clean Green Superfood Serum, we do offer refills, and it just comes with like an aluminium cap, which you can then just recycle and just reuse the dropper bottle, because unfortunately at the moment, quite a lot of the industry products is like a plastic dropper bottle. So there's not much me as a small brand I can do about that, but I can do something about trying to reduce the waste. So we do have refills, and I'm looking for 2024 to introduce that more to the whole range, because I just think it just works. Do you know what I mean? And I have seen quite of our customers really warm to that. So that's something that I'm looking to do in 2024. And then also the glossary at the minute is a one-man band, so everything is like small batch production. So I make sure I make every product of the glossary that you see on the website is still made in like small batches. And formulating in small batches just helps me to keep my energy emissions low, also helps to reduce unwanted waste, because I'm more on it when it comes to like quality control, whereas I wouldn't necessarily be if you're making hundreds of thousands of units. So yeah, that's kind of like how the glossary really aligns with the sustainability element. And I just think as a brand, it's just important. I think a lot of the consumers, especially the ones that we target, Gen Z and millennial, they expect you to be doing something nowadays. I don't think it's enough just to be like, I'm vegan and cruelty free. Like that is kind of like the standard. And even if you're not, even as a small brand, we don't have the purchasing power to be doing a lot of stuff that I suppose the bigger brands can be doing, but on a small scale basis, we can still be doing our part. And if you can, I think it's really important for that authenticity to show to your community that, yep, okay, I know we could be doing more, but as a small team of one, this is what we're doing at the moment.
And I have to say, as a team of one, you're knocking it out of the park. So it's brilliant. And I think you have disruptors in the market like yourself who are showing these bigger brands, and these brands are with very extensive teams, extensive budgets, that it can be done easily and those changes can be made. So yeah, well done for that. I want to talk a little bit about the concept of Nature's Elixir, which is what the episode is all about and your products are about. And I think that term suggests a really profound synergy between skincare and the soul. And again, going back to that holistic nature of skincare and kind of that ethos that it's not just about your external that needs looking after, it's an internal thing as well. How have you approached skincare to go beyond the surface and nurture a deeper sort of sense of well-being and that inner radiance that kind of shines from the inside out?
Yeah, I think from my personal journey, I just see skincare, it aligns with like your spiritual, what I see as like, it aligns with like your spiritual journey, because both are like, in essence, a ritual. You do your cleansing, you do your toning, you're taking time from the hustle and bustle of fast-paced life just to enjoy a bit of me time. And I think there's a real sense of beauty in that, that despite the world being a bit crazy at the moment, that there's that peaceful moment that you can get from choosing like your favorite cleanser, spending time to do a facial with your favorite serum. And I think especially when it comes to natural ingredients, so we know like with nature, we trust nature is always going to do its job. We know that every season, the leaves are going to change color, they're going to fall, and then they're going to regenerate. But I think in modern society, we're very quick to be fearful of things not working out for us in the right way. And I think if we're taking the time to see how nature develops and how fruits grow, we just trust that it's just going to happen, right? We don't ever question nature. And I think then by taking natural ingredients, we have to have a bit of more confidence in ourselves.
I'm just thinking about what you're saying, and it's really building a picture for me. We are so quick to shut something down if it's not working immediately, and we don't give things the time that it needs to work. We don't believe in delayed gratification, I think. I think that's what it is. And I think especially in Western societies, we're all so stressed and got so much on our agenda. And I'm hell for saying this to people. If it's not in my calendar, it's not happening. It's because we're all so quote unquote busy, and we've glorified that rather than being able to say, being able to trust the bloody process.
That's exactly
that's it. What we're not able to do. And we're not able to trust that things happen in their own time when they're supposed to happen. So I think this, it takes me back to another conversation I had with another brand where we were talking about self-care. And self-care has been marketed to us now, but these are things that most of us have done just for a little moment of calm and quiet and a little bit of self-reflection. But now self-care has been marketed at us as something we're all supposed to do and fit into our day,
yeah.
Even though it's something we've all been doing.
Yeah. It explains capitalism. That's what I'm trying to say. Capitalism, yes. Yeah.
It is. It all goes down to capitalism. You're right. It's how can we take a spin on something and make it make money for us? It's really unfortunate. Moving on now to our very last question. In the realm of wellness, the glossary kind of, to me, seems like a champion. And you champion a lifestyle that appreciates beauty from within. And we've spoken about this and how your beauty regime and your skincare isn't just about your skin. It's about the ingredients. It's about how it works with your soul. And how does your brand encourage individuals to sort of embrace a more balanced and radiant life beyond that skincare and fostering a slightly more, I don't want to say holistic approach, but I'm thinking a more natural in approach to well-being in the sense of it just happens and kind of leaning onto our previous point. So yeah.
Yes. So I feel like, especially in the traditional beauty industry, a lot of the beauty enhancements does focus on like topical products. Whereas at the glossary, as you write, we do believe that it's kind of like beauty from the inside out, and how we kind of do, well, how we do demonstrate that with our community is that whilst we do, you know, products is everything. If you don't have a good product, no one's really going to like support the brand. But I think whilst having those beautiful products, we also do encourage people to talk a lot kinder to themselves. You might want to incorporate some positive affirmations into your daily routine. You have to look after your physical well-being. You have to move your body a bit more. You also have to care about your emotional well-being. So I suppose in our content, in our digital, even like word of mouth when I'm talking to people, I'm really big on fostering yourself and surrounding yourself with a lot of positive energy, because it does have an impact. And every day we're being assaulted from different angles, with people having a bad day, they want to drop it on your doorstep, or if you're watching something on TV or anything, whenever we step out of our sanctity of our homes, we're met with people that don't have patience, people that are very angry, people that are very hostile. So taking care of yourself at the glossary, we see it as a lot more than just your topical skincare products. I see it as, and that's kind of interesting, the segue, that I do see the glossary developing into more of like a lifestyle brand. Like whilst we are like a skincare brand at the moment and we do focus on topical skincare products, I do see it eventually developing into a brand that really encompasses that ecosystem, as I said earlier, of the skin and how to make you and your skin feel healthy. You want to be spending time in nature. You want to be surrounding yourself with people that not only speak life into you, but where you speak life into others. And I just think that's really, really important. And I do think a lot of brands, unfortunately, miss that side, that it's just very, again, we did mention capitalism, it's just very outside beauty. You're going to use this patented serum and it's going to make you feel beautiful. But if you're using that serum and if you're not being kind to yourself, if you're not being kind to the people around you, how is that then going to translate? Your energy is still going to be on that lower frequency. You're not ever going to elevate to that highest or healthiest version of yourself. I think it's very important that, yes, you combine the topical rituals with the kind of emotional, spiritual and physical rituals that make you and yourself feel better. And I think that really does encompass the overall like health and well-being of your skin and of you within as well.
Okay, so thanks, Roshan. Next up, we are chatting with Suzanne Kaufman, founder and creator of Suzanne Kaufman, a brand who is actually a personal favorite of mine. So let's chat to her now. I'm a big fan of the brand and have used your products for quite a while now. So very, very excited to have you as part of Sustainably Influenced. So I guess the first question for me is, how has the philosophy of embracing sustainability and holistic well-being really influenced kind of the formulation and more so the sourcing and formulation of the for the ingredients in your line?
So listen, I grew up here in the Bregenzer Wald. Yeah? This is my home area. And when you grow up here, you're surrounded by nature, fresh air, great water, a lot of farming and so on. And of course, this influenced me when I was a child, because back then we didn't have any phones or computers or whatever. So that was not the idea, coming home from school, spending time on a screen. It was coming home. Hopefully the weather was not too bad, but then it was always being outside in the forest, in the streets with the other kids. So we grew up with this kind of understanding of, I would say it was a remote living, yeah, and this is still a remote living here in the Bregenzer Wald. It's not very noisy, it's not very busy. And so, of course, then we also, when you go to the forest and you see, of course, a lot of nature, and then with my grandmothers, this is also a place here where people do their own tinctures, they make their own soaps and creams and whatever. So this was also what my grandmothers did. So I also grew up with collecting berries for them, plants, herbs, and then they made out different tinctures, which we then used when we were sick, or we got a tea with it, for example, sage tea for if you have a problem with your gorge. So that was always, also I grew up with that. And then, of course, you are influenced of this kind of being a respectful person when it comes to protect nature, but also being respectful with other people. Yeah. And this is in the Bregenzer Wald, we know each other, you know, or you know someone who knows the next. So we care about each other. So you know what the neighbor, if he needs something, you know, you would help if you know that there's a problem.
There's a sense of community. There's a real sense of what you're saying. And it's everybody looking out for one another, which I think is incredible.
Yeah, it's really nice, yeah. And so when I started the business in almost 20 years ago, I had to come up with a philosophy for the product, yeah. And that was very clear for me. It was all what I know and how I grew up. It was so clear for me that it has to be as natural as possible, but of course, an effective product, sustainable, a nice look, yeah. And then, of course, when it was, but what would you want to use for your products? So, of course, I said it has to be from nature. It has to be the plants we are surrounded here. And we put that in a very efficient way into our products so that the products are also effective. So that was where all my inspiration is coming from and still is.
It's incredible to hear. I think it's really, really incredible because there are lots of brands that you hear about, especially in the beauty space, where people start things in their kitchen and they buy in random products and they start to mix them together, the oils, the creams, the butters and all the different things that they would make from buying it from other suppliers. But for you, you could literally go to nature to choose the ingredients, to choose to source your products, to then make effective, sustainable skincare. And I think whilst we're on the topic of sustainability, I think there's a real emphasis on looking towards more eco-friendly packaging. And I know you use a lot more glass. So I'm wondering if you could share insights into the steps that you've taken to minimize your environmental impact, but also maintaining that really luxurious aesthetic. I don't know if my audience are familiar with your products. I'd like to think they are, but the products have a real sort of like high-end luxury look to them. So how do you go about that?
As I said, from the beginning on, sustainability was very important for me because I run this place, the hotel here in Beitzau, with the spa for 30 years. It's going to be 30 years in summer. And already here, you know, it was always doing the things that are the most logical. So really using food which is surrounding us, finding ingredients, but also when we built the hotel or renovated it, we used carpenters from here, which uses the wood from the area. You know, since I'm working as an entrepreneur, that was always something I did. Probably not back then so much about sustainability thinking, maybe yes, but it was always, I think the best life you can have is if you really have the possibility to live with things that are surrounding us when it comes to food, to your furniture, what you drink, you know. So I believe in that because there is a reason why we have cows and there must be a reason behind it.
Staying local with things. It's so, so important, even when you're buying your produce and eating seasonally and all these sorts of things. And there's a reason why certain things grow in certain areas or things are more accessible in certain areas because of environment and climate and all these other things. But like even myself, like I know that in the summer I can get allergies. So I try to buy local honey from a local apiary to try and make sure then that I'm getting the allergens and things that are local to me that I will experience more.
When I started the first product, of course, there was the question about the packaging, yeah? And for me, that was just glass because back then, plastic wasn't as it is nowadays, yeah? Plastic, there were still some softeners in it, which couldn't be good for your product. There was no recycled plastic packaging. Yeah, you could. So plastic was not what I wanted. And glass, it's very clean. It doesn't harm the product. It's very safe. And of course, in every glass, there's always a part of recycled glass. So it's not 100% virgin material. And I didn't want our products in this plastic. So we started with glass. And then, of course, we also used paper was not the same when it came to recycled paper. And so, but we started with the best and not added from the beginning on. We didn't add something to the products, you know. It was always to be safe. It was always a glass and then a box, what we, of course, need to tell the people what is in. Yeah? We always used the same cartons, you know, the size of the carton is the size of the product. So that was always from the beginning on. And then in the last years, there was a lot of happening the last 10 years when it comes to ingredients, to packaging. And so what we do is we always look what is new. We go to fairs, find out what is kind of a new packaging we can use. So, for example, we use a plastic bottle for our mists, yeah, but that bottle is from 100% recycled plastic and is 100% recyclable. So there are a lot of new materials you can source nowadays. We are also testing on new materials which are more organic even. So, you know, this is a journey that never ends. The most important thing that is that we use when it comes to packaging, the less virgin materials as possible.
Packaging is such a big problem. A lot of people say that packaging is worse for the environment than some of the sourcing of products themselves. Like a lot more companies are going to using like biomimicry ingredients and things like that. But packaging, if you get it wrong, even as a clean brand, it can still really bring up your impact. So it's really important that you're doing things like that. And I mean, obviously using glass and things like that, glass is heavier than plastic. So how do you kind of get around that with the carbon emissions? Just as a side question.
Yeah, totally. This is the problem with glass. Yeah. So this is why we started our refill project. So we do also refills, especially for the big 250 milliliter glass products, where we found a partner here in Vorarlberg. They have this great bottle, which is called the Simple One. And why is it the simple one? Because it's made out of one plastic. Refills often also tend to have two different plastics, you know, like the cap or something. And this is just one bottle made out of 75% recycled plastic. Yeah, it's very light and so easy. You just have to cut the nozzle and then you refill your hand soap.
That's so, so clever because, as you said, so many refills come with a plastic twister or a nozzle or something. And you just think to yourself, that part isn't recyclable or it's not made of recycled material. So it's all well and good that you're reducing the weight or the impact in that capacity with the material to make the refill. But then there's still something happening there. So thinking about it from end to end, so to speak, is really innovative. And I think a lot of beauty brands in the industry could really take note on that. Moving on slightly, I want to talk, this episode's all about holistic well-being and how well-being and self-care have become part of sustainability as well as beauty kind of practices. So the holistic well-being extends well beyond the sort of skincare product. So how do you integrate sort of those practices into the overall brand experience, encouraging your customers to embrace a wellness, slower lifestyle beyond their beauty routines?
Of course, this comes out of the spa and the hotel where I live. And also, you know, the product line was developed for our spa. Yeah. So I wanted to have our own products for our own treatments and rituals. And of course, everything which comes from our spa, we always think about a holistic approach. And also when we talk about skin, it's not just a product that doesn't work, you know. For us, it's always food, which is so, so important. Then sleep, then of course, movement, sports, yoga, etc. And then a good mindset. Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, skin, we know stressed skin, stressed people, stressed skin, that comes quite often together. And then, of course, it's about the products and the treatments. And this really comes from the hotel. And I created the products for the hotel and the spa. And this was always the approach. If you come to Bezau for a retreat, it will always be the holistic side of it and not just the facial.
That's what's so important. I think people look at their beauty and their beauty cabinets and think that it stops on their face or their body, but it goes so much deeper than that. It goes on to almost onto a cellular level, because when you're changing your mindset, you're changing your physiology somewhat. So I think it's really important that you're speaking about that.
And to add on, because I love being in the spa so much. And, you know, for me, it's a minute walk to go to my spa. But I often think it would be so nice if people also can have their spa moments at home, yeah, that you really take an hour for a bath or a shower and a peeling for your body, a scrub, and then a nice mask, and give your skin an hour, you know, where you take care of your skin. I mean, we give so much time to everything. I think once a week, that's a minimum.
It's not a big ask. No matter how busy somebody is, they can always find an hour to scroll on social media. So why not take one of those hours and give it to your body and your health and your physical well-being and your, I guess, holistic and your internal well-being as well. Sustainability often involves partnerships and responsible sourcing. We've spoken at length about this. I'd just like you to elaborate a little bit on any collaborations or initiatives that contribute to environmental conservation and support local communities within what it is that you're doing.
Well, let's say Vorarlberg, where I live, it's a very good place for producing natural cosmetics. You know, I think there are places where it would be more difficult. But from the beginning on, I choose our producer. He's 10 minutes away from where I live. He's working with solar power, photovoltaic, since ever I know him. And not only this, there are, if you come to Beta, I show you the production site, and then you see all the aspects. And if we are talking about sustainability, it's not just the ingredients and the packaging. It's really with which power do we bring the product into the bottle, yeah? For example, here we use only solar power. The whole production site runs on solar power. And then he is also a very social entrepreneur, because, for example, he has mainly part-time jobs offered to women to come back after maternity leave so that they can still work a couple of hours, very flexible times. That company is really giving a lot to the local community. And it's also where you pay the tax, you know. So it also goes back to whatever is needed here in Austria. So that's very important. For example, Metzler is a very good example to this, but also with the people, they do the boxes for us. They are just 30 minutes away. I work with them also for 20 years. Also the guys who deliver the glass, 20 years partnership. And that's a good thing. If you have those very long partnerships, you always can go beyond. For example, when we did the repackaging and the refresh, we also asked another company if it's possible to have the bottles we use, the airless bottles, yeah, if they also could do it with recycled glass, not just virgin. And so as we have a very long partnership, they said, yes, very good idea, let's do this. Yeah. And then, of course, also other companies can then use these. It's not for us, you know, like, and the same with this simple one with Alpla, we created that bottle that could also be used from other cosmetic brands. So, and we are often pushing them to also do something better. And this works if you have these long partnerships. There was this beautiful hayflower bath oil, which we launched in January. But the story is so nice because these hayflowers, a farmer friend of mine, he has this beautiful hayflower field up in the mountains. Yeah? And they are very protected, the hayflowers. So you can't fertilize them for years. You can't harvest them. Just it's only possible in the beginning of August. So it's a very protected field. And he harvested these flowers for us. And then another company close by, they made an extract out of it, a hayflower extract. And then we used it in our hayflower bath. So this is also something to show how you can integrate the community, what is surrounding us, you know. And it's a great product and very, very local. So, and this is also what I'm more and more interested in, to collaborate with little farmers or little companies. That's a manufacturer. We are not talking about big industries, where you can use the local people, local ingredients, and make more of these very your own ingredients. Yeah, I'm very interested in.
It's just incredible because there's so many companies out there that say that they've been around for 20 plus years and they've changed suppliers so many times that the product changes, the quality changes, the packaging changes. But to see these long-standing partnerships and being able to work with people who understand what it is that you're trying to achieve, I think that's where we need to go back to. I think industry has changed so much in the past 20, 30 years that everyone's always looking for the cheapest product and the highest sort of profit. So that doesn't necessarily happen when you've been working with somebody for 20 years because, yeah, costs change and things like that. But if you stick with one particular supplier, I think it ensures the quality of your product. And it's really nice to see. Moving on to our last question, the beauty industry has really seen a shift towards transparency. And I know that you are a very transparent brand and very good at communicating your sustainability efforts. So how do you go about that? Could you explain it to our audience? And how are you providing consumers with clear information about the brand's eco-friendly practices, as well as the holistic well-being principles?
For me, it's very clear, to be honest, what we do, what we don't do. You know, the moment we produce something and sell it, it can't be a neutral footprint or even a positive or whatever. That's just not the truth when it comes to what I believe. The moment I produce something, there is a footprint, yeah? And I can buy something else for that to get free of it. But I don't believe in that system too much, to be honest. And therefore, I think we always have to do, when we produce something, when we sell something, to make sure that we do it in the best way. And also, we produce things people need and use. Because what is also not good if we produce things and they land in the waste. And also, if you buy something, Bianca, and you don't like the product, what do? You throw it away. And there's a lot of cosmetic waste in this world. So I think the most important thing is for people that are producing, selling something, that they produce the best way they can. And then only they produce what's needed. And then it should be consumed. Yeah, that's for me what I think we should do more. And therefore, I think it's very important to communicate correctly. As I said, there is a footprint, but let's make it the best. And then to explain why you use glass, why you use this kind of plastic, you know, and be very honest to your consumer, because the consumer then decides, do I want this product or I don't? And we also make sure that every ingredient which has to be on the box, we not only do the ingredients on the box, you have to by law, we just put all ingredients on the box. Yeah? That everybody knows, okay, what is in there, what do I buy, what do I put in my face or on my body.
Thank you so much to today's guests. You can listen to previous episodes of Sustainably Influenced on all good podcast platforms and follow us on social media at Sustainably Influenced. And make sure that you sign up to our newsletter at www.sustainablyinfluenced.com. This season of Sustainably Influenced was produced by Content is Queen, sound editor Amber Miller, and presented by Bianca Foley.